You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about the Timberwolves-Warriors game from Wednesday night, the high points, the low points, the studs and duds from the game. The Wolves, of course, fell to the Warriors once again for the second time in 3 days, both, of course, coming in Golden State. This time, they lost by 12. We'll go through what went right and what went wrong in this one. We'll be the majority of today's show, and then a quick peek ahead at what's upcoming here on the show in the coming days and over the weekend. Before we do all that, though, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the exciting news that the Locked On Podcast Network was acquired by Tegna, one of the largest media companies in the nation. That was announced on Tuesday, on Wednesday. So really big day for the network. And, you know, kudos to David Locke, of course, our CEO and the host of Locked On Jazz and all the hosts on the network. Very exciting day. Excited to see what comes next, whether it's video, more engagement on local TV stations. Lots of exciting things upcoming for the Locked On Podcast Network. So be sure to, if you're not subscribed already, subscribe to all your favorite teams' podcasts. Of course, not just Locked On Wolves, but also the other podcasts. If you're a Twin City sports fan, you know, Locked On Twins, Locked On Golden Gophers, Locked On Vikings, Locked On Wild. There's a podcast for every team that you cheer for in the Twin Cities. Or if you're just simply a Wolves fan and a fan of other sports around the country, every single Big Four team, NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB, as well as many of the major college teams have a Locked On podcast. So be sure to check those out and subscribe if you have not already. All right, let's talk about Wolves Warriors. So this game was similar to Monday's game, except for the very start. The start of Monday's game, the Warriors got up 19-4. The Wolves had a sluggish start, spent the rest of the game clawing back in it. The lead kept going to 18, then it would get pulled back to 10 or 12, and the Wolves never really got closer. I don't think they ever got closer than 8 in Monday's game. This game, the Wolves didn't start quite as slowly. Both teams actually did offensively. It was like 6-2, 5 minutes into the game. And the first quarter ended with just a 23-21 score. It was like I was watching basketball in 1998, looking at the score at the end of the first quarter. And the Wolves were down by 2, similar second quarter, down by 7 at halftime. There was just never this, they didn't struggle immensely at the start, but they kind of lagged behind the whole game. They held a brief second quarter lead. I think they led by as many as 3 in the second quarter. Steph Curry was scoreless in the first quarter, and according to ESPN on their broadcast, it was only the second time all season that Steph Curry had been held scoreless for an entire quarter. He shot 0 of 7 in the first. He had just 2 points in the second, so he had only 2 points at halftime, yet the Warriors had a 7-point lead, which is partly indicative of how well the rest of the Warriors played, especially early, but also indicative of just how bad, just generally, how poor the Wolves are playing right now. And the fact that if Steph's career, I said what I was saying in the pregame, I guess it would have been Monday's show when I previewed the matchup the most, is basically just do what you can to shut down Steph, but just know he's going to get his. You can't let the other guys beat you. So whoever's guarding Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, those guys have to get, to an extent, locked down or at least forced into contested jumpers. Of course, Oubre came into this series shooting 20% from 3 and was, 2 of 3 on Monday and 2 of 3 on Wednesday. So he was 4 of 6 in 2 games against the Wolves from deep after shooting 20% all season. And that's in part bad luck and in part Wolves defense and Oubre playing well. Wiggins, after having, 10 of 18, 10 of 19 shooting on Monday, only squeezed the trigger 13 times, but had 19 points on 8 of 13 shooting, was a plus 23. Had another solid game. The Wolves just couldn't shut the other guys down. Curry had 2 points at halftime. They're down by 7. We'll talk about some of the debacle of the third quarter here in a little bit as one of my key takeaways related specifically to Josh Okogie. And if you watched the game, you know what I'm talking about. But I want to get into the problem with Josh Okogie and I guess this stretch was a microcosm of the Wolves' issues right now. The Warriors did push their lead to 23 points early in the fourth quarter. Minnesota went on a little bit of a run, though, mostly with bench guys in the game. I mean, the Jared Vanderbilts, the Jordan McLaughlins, Jaden McDaniels, Jordan McLaughlin, Jalen Noel got some run in this game fairly early. Jarrett Culver missed the game due to a sprained ankle, so Noel actually got in the game in the first half. But in the second half, and in the fourth quarter specifically, that, I guess for lack of a better term, a hustle-type lineup was actually extremely effective and got the Warriors lead from 23 all the way back down to 12. And when it was at, I think, 14, the Warriors put Steph Curry back in the game. And certainly they were hoping he would get to sit out the rest of it. But the Warriors did push the lead back to 16 then pretty quickly, and the final score ended up being 12. But it was 23 early in the fourth, and the Wolves actually started to filter back in their starters, and maybe not so coincidentally, you know, the game then slipped out of their grasp again. Not that it was ever really in their grasp, but they'd gotten within 12 with bench players. And then, you know, Rubio came back in and Beasley came back in and Nas came back in and then actually hurt his wrist and left and came back. We don't know his status, but he did return to the game. So hopefully he's okay. But the, that hustle bench, that young lineup in the fourth quarter is what got the Wolves back to within 12. So that was an impressive push. It was, you know, I don't know that it's much to write home about, but it was good to see the fight. It was good to see those guys play well. And I want to talk more about Jalen Noel here in a little bit as well. So ultimately the Wolves trailed by as many as 23 in the fourth, got as close as 12 in the fourth, only led in the second quarter in this game, or first and second quarter briefly. And so it was almost another wire-to-wire Warriors win. It was just kind of in a similar feel to Monday's game, just minus the early, you know, 15-point Warriors lead. But again, this was another game that just shows, I mean, the Warriors had the best player on the court, you know, lapping everybody else probably three times in Steph Curry, with no Karl-Anthony Towns, no D'Angelo Russell. The Wolves' best player is Malik Beasley, and obviously he's a very good player, but he's nowhere in the near the stratosphere of Steph Curry. And you could argue the rest of the Wolves are just as good as the rest of the Warriors. The problem is Steph Curry, and he's making everybody around him that much better, even when he only scores 16 points for the game. I didn't even mention he was a big part of that third quarter. He scored 16 in the game, two in the first half. I think 12 of his other 16 were all in the third quarter. He kind of took over for a stretch and was doing the Steph thing where he you know, launches a corner three and turns around before the ball even splashes through the net, looks at the Wolves bench, says something. And you know, that's Steph Curry. You got to tip your cap to him. And in both of these games, he was the overwhelming difference. Although somewhat ironically, in this game, it was the other guys. It was Oubre, it was Wiggins, it was James Wiseman off the bench, Wiseman actually led them in scoring with 25, who all did enough offensively that Curry didn't need to, but it was Curry creating for others. And that was the Wolves' downfall here, was the inability to stop those other guys and Curry's brilliance being the difference really in both of these games. All right. Next, I want to talk key takeaways. I want to talk about Josh Okogie and the problems that happened in the third quarter. I want to talk about Jalen Noel, the starting unit as a whole, and a couple of other things before getting into studs and duds. Before we do that, though, let's talk about rockauto.com. With an ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Again, the prices are always reliably low and the same for both professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As you well know, we cover everything that you need to know about the Minnesota Timberwolves here at Locked On Wolves, but what about the rest of the sports world? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's talk key takeaways from this game. Number one, if you watch this game, you no doubt came away scarred by the 8-0 mini Warriors run that was part of a much larger, like 30-7 run or whatever it ended up being against the Wolves in the third quarter. And it wasn't just 8-0 Warriors Wolves. It was 8-0 Warriors versus Josh Okogie. Golden State was up 67-60. You remember they were up 7 at halftime. So the Wolves had held serve through the first few minutes of the third quarter. The Warriors decided to put Draymond Green on Josh Okogie, and they left him wide open on four consecutive possessions. And Josh Okogie missed four consecutive threes. One was an air ball. One was in and out. The other two weren't particularly close. And poor Josh, I mean, he couldn't hit a wide open shot. And when I say they were sagging off of him, this wasn't like how teams play Ricky Rubio where they sag off of him and allow him to shoot. This was literally not even guarding him. Draymond Green, if the Wolves had been a little more patient, the Warriors would have gotten a defensive three-second call. Draymond Green was literally standing with both feet in the paint. On one of the threes, actually the one I think Okogie airballed, Rubio drove into the paint on the right side after a screen from Naz Reid, and the Green actually went with Naz as the roller. They basically doubled the roller and had three guys in the paint playing the roller and the ball handler, which was Rubio. So 3-on-2, Okogie wide open. Rubio makes the right play, kicks it out to Okogie. He airballs the three. On the last one, which almost went in, he was in the left corner, and Draymond had both feet in the paint, again playing the drive, overplaying any sort of action in the middle of the floor, and Okogie missed it again. And this was it wasn't even really playing free safety. It was literally just doubling the ball handler or doubling the roll man because they could. And you know, Josh is a 32% career 3-point shooter from the corner. For his career as a 3-point shooter overall, he is under 30%. I'm going to pull it up here in a second. For his career, Josh is 26.7% beyond the arc. This season, he's 16.7%. For his career from the corner, he's 32.5%. But so far this year, he's only 28.6% from the corner. You know, if the Wolves could only have him shoot threes from the corner, that would be great. And you know, there was a while there, he was playing a lot at the four, and I didn't love that simply because, I thought the Wolves were giving up too much size, especially when it comes to rebounding the ball. And it's not an option with no Karl-Anthony Towns. You can't play Okogie at the four with Naz Reid at the five. Naz doesn't rebound at a high enough clip to put Okogie at the four. But with Towns on the floor, that's something you can do and allow him to play more, Okogie to play more of a little bit of the Jared Vanderbilt role, right? Like stay in the dunker spot, get ready, you know, along the baseline there, get ready for rebounds, get ready for dump offs from ball handlers in the paint, and then occasionally spread out to the corner and take a pass and knock down a three. I mean, just under 33% from the corner. That's fine. It's not great, but it's good enough that they'd have to somewhat honor it. And when you're playing in the dunker spot, they have to honor you. You're going to get a dunk. So the way that the Wolves use Okogie offensively is just like you'd use any other wing, but he's a bad enough shooter that it doesn't make much sense. And he's pretty good in the paint. He's good at the rim. He's a good free throw shooter for his career. He's 76.5% from the free throw line. You know, so why not give him more chances closer to the rim? I get that he's undersized, but you know, Flip Saunders talked about this preseason. He's got a 6'9 wingspan for his 6'4 height, which gives him, what did he call it, an effective wingspan of 6'8 or 6'7. Or he's got a 6'10 wingspan, which gives him an effective height of 6'7, taking his 6'4 height and 6'10 wingspan. Even if you're not going to officially play him at the four, treat him like a four on offense. Don't have him linger on the perimeter, which actually leads into my next point, which is this starting lineup. I understand that there's injuries. I understand there's guys missing, but this starting lineup is not tenable because of the lack of shooting. The starting lineup right now includes the three best defenders available, Jared Vanderbilt, Josh Okogie, Ricky Rubio, and only one plus shooter. I talked about this a little bit with Wes Goldberg actually on the crossover episode on Wednesday. Beasley's the only plus shooter in that lineup. Naz Reid is around league average so far in his career if he's shooting threes. Ricky Rubio is well below league average for his career and terrible this year from three. Josh Kogi, even worse. Jared Vanderbilt, a non-factor from three. He'll hit a corner three, you know, once in a blue moon, but he's never going to take one from above the break, and he shouldn't either. So for as much as the Wolves want to shoot threes and play fast, you're talking about an alleged all-defense lineup minus Beasley. And yeah, they held Golden State to 23 points in the first quarter of this game. I don't know how much of that was Wolves defense versus Warriors offensive issues. But now you look at the bench, and there's not a, other than maybe Ed Davis, there's not a plus defender among them. You know, Jaden McDaniels has showed good effort on that side, and he's got great length, but we don't know enough about his defensive game yet. He wasn't known for his defense coming out of college. Jake Layman's a very average defender. Jordan McLaughlin is a good defender, but he's only going to guard point guards. You know, Jalen Noel is probably a little below average, but we haven't seen enough of him at the NBA level. And Anthony Edwards is definitely below average as a defender. So what you've done is you've stacked your best defenders in the starting lineup, and that means your bench rotation is kind of void of any real strong defenders outside of Jordan McLaughlin. Not only that, there's no shooting in this starting lineup. Now, to be fair, there's not a ton of shooting on the bench right now either. I mean, Anthony Edwards was 5 of 8 from deep, and we'll talk more about him later. But for the season, he's not been very good from deep. Jaden McDaniels isn't consistent enough yet. Jake Layman's not a consistent outside shooter. Jordan McLaughlin's good, but he doesn't shoot that many threes. But so what's the answer? To me, it's Jalen Noel. And I'm not suggesting that if the Wolves had started Jalen Noel, they would have won this game. That's not what I'm saying. But the argument here is, if you've got Jared Vanderbilt, Ricky Rubio in the starting lineup, and Malik Beasley's playing a little better defensively, especially in a game like this, when it's not like you're worried about Andrew Wiggins or Kelly Oubre necessarily going off on you by themselves. I mean, if they're scoring a lot of it's being created by Steph Curry, and Okogie hasn't been super effective guarding Curry for his career. Rubio's actually been pretty good guarding Steph Curry. Jalen Noel is a player that needs to see more minutes for this team. Now, I said earlier that I don't think you can play Josh Okogie next to Naz Reid. I don't think you can play him at the four much without Karl-Anthony Towns. But against a team like the Warriors, and when you're struggling offensively, it might be worth the shot. Give Jalen Noel some extra minutes. And maybe long-term, you know, with Towns back, I still think Vanderbilt is the best option to start at the four with Towns. You can bring Hernan Gomez off the bench. But then Okogie's an option off the bench at the three or the four. And so is Jalen Noel. So depending on the situation and on the matchups, you could go with Noel at the three and Okogie at the four. You could play Okogie at the three if you need more defense and less shooting. But Noel needs to get the opportunity to see some minutes for a team that has been really punchless offensively, sans Towns and sans Russell, especially from beyond the arc. And so that's a way you can get Noel on the floor and also hide some of Okogie's deficiency when it comes to scoring the basketball. And one last note on the Wolves' shooting issues. I mean, the Wolves' two best players aren't simply their two best players. They're also two of their best three shooters in Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, you know, Malik Beasley being the other one. But you're not only missing your best, certainly your best player, you know, Towns, your best all-around player and your second best offensive player in Russell and your starting point guard. You've now taken two-thirds of your great shooters off the floor, right? I mean, outside of Malik Beasley, there's nobody else that played in this game for the Timberwolves on Wednesday or on Monday against the Warriors that's a clearly plus shooter. Jalen Noel is the only one that really has the upside to be a 40% plus three-point shooter. I guess we don't really know about Jaden McDaniels, but you're not going to assume that he is at this point. He hasn't been quite to this point. He's been good from the corners. But I mean, this Timberwolves team, Malik Beasley was the only real threat from the outside, and the Warriors gambled that nobody else would beat them, and they ended up, I mean, yes, the Wolves did shoot 39% from three in this game, but that's because Edwards got hot and went 5 of 8. Beasley was 4 of 9. The only other Wolf with two or more threes made was Jalen Noel in 16 minutes. You know, mostly, I guess, a good chunk of that was garbage time at the end of the game as the Wolves tried to make a comeback. So my point is, there's still not enough shooting on the wing for this team because Culver and Okogie are two of your main, you know, minutes getters. Jake Layman is also in the rotation and is a very average 3-point shooter. And then you add in guys like, you know, I'm still advocating for Vanderbilt getting minutes because it's okay if you've got a couple guys that can't shoot threes, but you can't only have one guy that's above average. And that's where the Wolves are because the injuries to Towns and Russell. So, the Okogie thing isn't limited to Okogie. He just happened to be the guy put in that position in the third quarter. And you feel for Josh. The Wolves need to figure out a way to make better use of him in the half court. Obviously, he's very good in transition, but in the half court, what's a better way to use Josh Okogie? What's a better position to put him in to allow him to try and achieve some success? Okay, next I want to talk about individual studs and duds. First, let's talk about betonline.ag. If you haven't already signed up for a betonline.ag account, now is the time. The Super Bowl is coming up in about a week and a half. Super Bowl prop bets are awesome. In fact, the new Locked On Bets podcast, they're Lee Sterling and your boy Q are doing prop bets every day for the Super Bowl, leading up for the next 10 days or so until the Super Bowl. Obviously, the middle of NBA basketball and college basketball as well. I mentioned the other day, I'm all in. I'm on betonline.ag now. I actually bet the over in the Timberwolves game last night and got it by, I think, 3 points. It came down to Nico Mannion at the free throw line and he missed two free throws. So I was rooting for a score at the end of the game and I got it with a James Wiseman dunk. Not that I was rooting for the score, the final margin to be any greater. I just needed to get to that 230 over and I hit it. So if you don't have an account at betonline.ag, head over there and do that. Sign up today and you'll get a use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. That's the promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus. All sports are on there, of course, NBA, NFL, NHL, college basketball. I mean, just get going. I mean, don't miss out. Don't sit on the sidelines, get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Also, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. Tastes exactly like a candy bar, I promise. I had Cherry Barcia yesterday for the first time, and it was unbelievable. Cookies and cream, caramel brownie, toffee almond, all fantastic, banana bread, mint brownie, really all of them. Those are just some of my favorites. Every single Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate. It's soft and easy to chew. I've made it my routine on my way home from work now when I'm commuting that is my afternoon snack to get me between lunch and dinner. And frankly, it would work as a meal replacement as well in terms of how delicious and filling they are. But again, still good for you. If you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight or maintain weight while still indulging in a delicious treat, all Built Bars are low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein and high in fiber. Perfect for a keto diet. Right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, I want to get into studs and duds. First, though, on the Rejecting the Screen podcast right now, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and career with a two-part special this week. Part two is up today. That's Thursday the 28th, with more stories about Kobe's intense competitive drive, his feud with Shaquille, and the love he had for his teammates. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's talk studs and duds. So studs for this game, this is actually pretty easy. Sometimes it's not easy because everybody just kind of has a meh game, but there were clearly three really good players for the Wolves and two players that stuck out for their poor performances in this game. Malik Beasley was one that had a very good game for the Wolves. He shot 7 of 18 from the field, had 25 points, 5 rebounds, 4 of 9 beyond the arc, got to the free throw line 8 times and made 7 of them, chipped in an assist and a steal, just had one turnover in 30 minutes, and his minus 14 plus minus was the best of the starters, which says a lot about the starters, probably more than it does about Malik Beasley. But 25 and 5 with 4 made threes and 7 free throws for Malik Beasley was a really good game. He started the game 0-for-4 and then kind of hit a hot streak in the middle of the game and helped keep the Wolves at least within striking distance. So good game from Malik. Also, Anthony Edwards off the bench had 25 points, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists, which is the very rare, I guess you could call it a stat-stuffing performance, at least in the context of what we've seen so far in Edwards' career. He was only a minus 2 in the plus minus in a game the Wolves lost by 12. Shot 9 of 19 from the field. So the field goal percentage, you know, that's obviously fine, but overall his field goal percentage has still been very poor of late. He made 5 of 8 three-pointers, including 5 of his first 6, and went to the free throw line just one time, made both those free throws. He's still struggling just generally to shoot the ball. So, I mean, like, for instance, in this game, he was 4 of 11 inside the arc on two-point attempts, which is not what you want. To put it very bluntly, but this was a much better game for Edwards. He clearly was motivated by playing against James Wiseman, who in his own right, I mean, he also had 25 points, led the Warriors in this game, scored a few buckets there towards the end when it was very much garbage time. But hey, they still count, and both Edwards and Wiseman had 25 points. So it's exactly how ESPN billed this game as the the top two picks from this year's draft were actually the leading scorers in this game, along with Malik Beasley. They all had 25. So good game from Edwards. Good to see the activity. Shot selection still needs some work. Finishing at the rim needs some work. He needs some help from the officials. They have to call fouls more often when he gets into the paint. But a good game from him. And then Naz Reid was a pleasant surprise in this one. Had 19.7 rebounds, 6 of 10 shooting. He also had 5 blocks and 3 steals in this game. He's been a lot better defensively of late than we had seen from him last year, especially as a rim protector, clearly with the 5 blocks. But he's also altering shots. His length is literally massive and also very important to what the Wolves are trying to do defensively without Towns. He's still not great in the pick and roll game, so the Warriors would try and catch him in screen and rolls. But when he's defending the rim, he actually does a fairly good job. And the rebounding numbers are still a little bit lower than you'd like them to be. But I'm not going to complain about a 19-7-5-3 game when he's using his length and activity to be effective. So he did hurt his wrist in the fourth quarter. He came back on the court. Of course, Towns did the same thing a few weeks ago in Utah. So hopefully there's nothing, Ryan Saunders said after the game that they didn't have an update yet on his status. The Wolves don't play again until Friday. So hopefully he's available. Incidentally, Ed Davis was ejected in this game for a flagrant 2 foul on Oubre in a fast break situation in the first half. And so Naz was the only true 5. And if he can't play Friday and if Towns isn't back, you're looking at only Ed Davis. And then you've got Jared Vanderbilt as, like, I guess Jaden McDaniels is your 4 and Jared Vanderbilt is your other big. Those are your 3. There's nobody else. There's no two-way players that are big men. That's what you got. So hopefully Towns can come back and hopefully Naz is okay. I think if both those things happen, that would be obviously the best case scenario. All right, duds for this game. Josh Okogie gets one. We talked a lot about him. I don't need to bury Josh anymore, but he struggled defensively. He just has had a bad couple of games in Golden State. Probably still working his way back a little bit from the hamstring and conditioning wise and some of those different things. But he was 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 4 beyond the arc. Only 1 of 2 at the free throw line. 3 points, just 1 rebound in 17 minutes. Again, struggled on the glass. Just not a good stretch for Josh. The other dud for this game is going to be Ricky Rubio. He had 5 points and 5 assists in 22 minutes, but shot just 2 of 7, missed both his 3-point attempts, and had 3 turnovers, was a minus 15. Contrast that with Jordan McLaughlin, who had 6 and 5 of his own, but was a plus 3, only had 1 turnover, shot 3 of 5 from the field. So not like what the Wolves got at all on Saturday or Monday without D'Angelo Russell available. Rubio wasn't great Monday either. But like going back to last Saturday, remember when in the game the Wolves won, the 2-point guards combined for 20 points and 11 assists and were relatively efficient from the field. So the Wolves need to see Rubio pick it up a little bit more. And I don't, I don't know if it's swapping him and McLaughlin and giving McLaughlin the starting job if Russell remains out on Friday, or if it's just, J-Mac ended up playing more minutes than Rubio in this game. Part of that was due, I think, to the 20 plus point deficit in the fourth quarter. But at any rate, Rubio just didn't have a very good game. He struggled again the last couple games after playing well late last week and into last weekend. So just a roller coaster of a season for Rubio so far. And, he's still a good player in this league. He's still a good point guard. It's just not happening for him right now. All right, so there you have it. Studs in this game, again, are Malik Beasley, Anthony Edwards, Naz Reid, in no particular order, and then duds are Josh Okogie and Ricky Rubio. Overall, this was a competitive 2-game series for the most part. I mean, I know the Wolves lost both games by double digits, but they, without, the Warriors having the best player on the floor by a mile, by several miles, frankly, the Wolves competed, they played hard. There were certainly some lapses. Shooting was an issue on Monday. Defense was an issue more so on Wednesday. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know that we learned much about the Timberwolves this week. Maybe we learned that the Warriors aren't very good minus Steph Curry, which I think we knew. But the Wolves at least competed, and I wouldn't call that a silver lining because we don't, I don't know. I mean, that's the expectation, right? And it's not like they played extremely well. They just played okay. So not a lot to glean from this 2-game series against Golden State. There's a quick blip on the schedule that's a little more difficult for the Wolves. They've got Philadelphia, who's leading the East and just beat the Lakers on Wednesday. They've got Philadelphia on Friday. And then a Sunday, Monday home road back-to-back against Cleveland, who's of course beatable. And hopefully Towns is back by then. That'll be a little more than 2 weeks over or past the positive COVID test announcement. And then a bunch of conference games. You got San Antonio, Oklahoma City twice, Dallas, the Clippers, all upcoming. So things get real difficult again really quickly. Unfortunately, during the stretch that I called a winnable stretch of games, the Wolves have won only two dating back to the end of that Denver-Portland situation the first week of January. You know, from that San Antonio game through last night, the Wolves played a bunch of non-playoff teams from last year. A couple fringe teams like New Orleans, Memphis, Golden State, obviously. But over those games, the Wolves went 2-7. And I said at the time they needed to try and go at least 4-5 or 5-4 to stay afloat this season. And 2-7 is not going to get it done. Obviously, they've had their share of injuries and COVID issues. But Philadelphia Friday, Cleveland Sunday and Monday, and then things get difficult again. So we'll be back on Friday. Actually, I think we'll have I'll have Kyle Daugherty back as a guest. We're going to talk buy or sell some storylines, some teams for the season to this point for both the Eastern and Western Conference, and then I'll do a quick preview on Friday of Wolves Sixers on Friday evening. Otherwise, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to Locked On Wolves and all Locked On podcasts anywhere you get podcasts. Also, please, if you're so inclined, help us out with a positive review on iTunes, on Apple. It definitely helps us get in front of more folks and would much appreciate it. Also, you can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.